Good morning. It is 7:33 and you're listening to Mornings with Kelly. We're at 34 degrees in Indianapolis. Winter weather advisory continues until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Be careful out there on the roads. Again, looked out the back door here at Moody Radio. Things just mainly look wet. Traffic seems to be flowing smoothly as far as I can see, but that may not be the case where you are because we've had some fog this morning. We've had everything from rain to freezing rain and snow and then a little bit more rain, and it's just really sloppy out there. So again, do slow it down and be very careful. I ran across this morning and wanted to share this right before we talk with Brad Graber from investingintruth.com. He's our resident financial planner, takes us to God's word to help us be better stewards of what we've been given. But this that I ran across was in our news feed this morning. And Brad, I'll share this with you too. It says, most Americans make New Year's resolutions that involve money. And according to a new survey by Goldman Sachs, almost 90% of creditworthy Americans say they plan on saving money this year. And the top ways they're going to do that is add more to their savings accounts, pay down credit card debt, and create a budget. And those things are all great, but we tend to not stick to our New Year's resolutions, and we get into more debt over the holidays to begin with. Isn't that right?
Yeah, the end of the year tends to be pretty expensive for most of us. So we have Christmas, we have travel, we have lots of hospitality, and before we know it, we kind of blew the budget in December, and then that carries on into the new year, which is why most of us probably have some kind of a resolution or at least an idea that we would like to be better this year with money than we were the year before.
You know, I think we just get into that sense of feeling so good about the holidays and, oh, I want to make this nice for everybody and it's worth it and it's okay, we'll get it paid down. And then the bills and reality start to roll in and we realize we've overextended ourselves and then we've created a whole new stress. And then that distracts us from focusing on God and the fact that He's our provider. So, Brad, I think a New Year's resolution to get out of debt and pay things down is a good one. But, man, I know the main place to start is to not get into debt at all. But that's sometimes easier said than done. So for those of us who are there, where do we start by really realistically keeping a New Year's resolution?
Well, and there is the key word, realistically. So we all have areas that we can improve in. The first thing we have to do is know what the situation is. We always have to be dealing with the actual facts. So where I would have people start is, number one, let's see what the picture is. Let's look at the patient so we can properly diagnose it. And we start by just grabbing pen and paper, and we start writing down all the debts that we have. And we need to know what is actually going on. How much do we owe? Who do we owe it to? What's our monthly payment that we have to make? So start by just listing minimum monthly payment. And then what's the interest rate that we're paying on that debt? Once we have that and we see the actual picture, it allows us to then start to work on the plan. So we're dealing with facts at that point rather than, so many times I run into situations where people are just stressed out, and when bills come, they try to throw a little bit extra on the one that grabs their attention at that time, and there's really no bigger plan. They're just really stressed out because it seems like things are spiraling out of control. So the first thing, grabbing that picture, understanding what's going on, and then we can start to develop that plan of attack. And then just in addition to that, we need to know where our money's going to. So the other side of facts are tracking our expenses and knowing where our money's going as we get it. And then with those two pieces together, we understand the picture that we're trying to fix, and then we also understand the resources that we have and where the money's going that could be fixing that. Then we can start using that factual information together to try to solve the problem that we have.
Okay, I get that. We write everything down, and I think that's great to take a look because sometimes, you know, with the interest rates that we might be paying on credit cards, we may not be aware of how much of that payment we're making is actually going to interest and not the actual debt itself. So let's say we've got all of that written down, Brad, and then we've written down what our other expenses are, things we have to take care of just to live, and then we can see what we've got left to work with. Once we hit that point, how do we choose where to begin paying down debt? What do we look at? What should get our attention first? Let's say someone's got, I don't know, six credit cards for just off the top of my head. You got six credit cards and they're varying amounts. How do we know which one to pick to start with?
Well, and that's not just an easy cut and dry answer because it's going to be different based on possibly even the person that I'm dealing with, but also the varying parts of that situation. So there's several factors there that we have to look at. We have to look at the balance that we owe. We have to look at what is the monthly payment amount, And then we also look at the interest rate. So if any one of those really stands out, so if we have several debts that are low interest but one that we're paying 25% on, then that one clearly paints a target on it. But also if we have several things that we're paying basically the same amount on, but one of them has a much lower balance, then it makes sense to go after that one and try to free up some cash flow as quickly as we possibly can. And then the other factor is that monthly payment. So I'm a big fan of trying to free up as much budget room as we can as quickly as possible. So I like to try to get rid of big payments if it's not going to take a long time to do it. So if one of them stands out where they all have similar balances, but one of them has a much bigger minimum payment, that one makes sense to go after as well in that situation, because by paying off that loan, we can free up a lot more money in our budget that can then be reallocated to something better. So it's not an easy answer, but when you look at the facts, a lot of times one of them is going to jump out at you, and it stands as an outlier to the others. If they all seem to be fairly simple or fairly similar, it may not be a big difference on which one you go after first.
You know, we can look at all those numbers, and that's the black and white part of it. But you have said before that debt is not just a money issue. There are spiritual repercussions to debt. This is a heart issue. Share more what you've meant by that.
Yeah, and one easy way I've heard it explained is we can't expect a sick tree to produce good fruit. So we have to look at the factual information that we have in front of us, and we have to address what caused those issues. And is there a spiritual issue that's going on here? So did we overspend because of a materialistic desire? Is there some kind of other sinful action taking place in our life, some kind of sinful desire that we need to repent of, because that's what caused us to get into this hole that we're in? And if we can't address the spiritual issue, we can try all year long to try to fix the symptoms that we're seeing, but we're never actually fixing the problem. And that's why it's so important to make sure that we look back and say, well, that's why we look at the situation we're in and ask the question, what caused me to get here? That's an important question to ask. The next one is, as we look at where we're spending our money tends to go where our heart is. So where is our money going? And is it God-honoring things, or are there things in there that we should really be looking to try to eliminate in our life? And if so, that's an easy starting point to be able to free up some money to try to solve our situation. So it's so important to make sure that we're taking care of that spiritual side, because the more we align ourselves with God, the more we find that the fruit that we're producing is really the fruit that we wanted to have to begin with.
You know, something else that I think is important to point out too, Brad, and I know just in years past when I've had New Year's resolutions of any type, or even if I just sat down in the middle of the year, it might be June, just to try to make a plan, whether it's about debt that I've had or other things that I want to get accomplished. If we're not keeping God in it and at the center of it, number one, that's going to be a problem. But number two, I think once we make a plan, and I can only really speak for me, and I will only speak for me, we set a timeline by when we want to be done with debt, for instance, since we're talking about money. But that may not always be realistic either, and it seems, I know in my own experience and the mistakes I've made, that if I don't hit my goal by the timeline that I set forth, then I just get aggravated and frustrated and kind of give up on my goal, and that's not good either.
Yeah, what we're going after here is faithfulness. We're not in control of how everything's going to play out. God is in control of all those circumstances in our lives that are being orchestrated around us. We need to be focused on being faithful. So you mentioned earlier about not taking on new debt is the best way to start. So are we being faithful in the way that we're living and using the resources that we have? God's going to control how much he flows into our situation, but we need to just make sure that we're being faithful with what's being put into our hands. And that takes me to one other real important criteria in here that I want to make sure I mention, is that we surround ourselves with wise counsel. So just like you said, it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to just fall away from it and give up. We need to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with people that are going to encourage us, that are godly counsel, number one, and they're going to be working on that spiritual side of our life. They're going to see, does our financial life and our spiritual life align with itself? And it just takes us back to Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. It's so easy for us to get caught up in thinking that we need to be doing everything on our own, that the strong do it on their own. And the Bible tells us the exact opposite. The Bible tells us that we need other people in our lives. We need other people that are feeding into us and helping develop us. And that's just part of the Christian community. So we need to be finding those people that we can share with. It doesn't mean we have to open up and show every bit of our financial detail to them, but we still need to have people that understand what we're trying to accomplish and understand where we stand spiritually and will challenge us in the areas where maybe we need to be having spiritual development as well.
Hey, Brad, we are just about out of time, but before we let you go this morning, and by the way, if you've just tuned in the last couple of minutes, we're talking with financial planner Brad Graber from investingintruth.com. But, Brad, we just spent the past year kind of going through your financial boot camp on the air here on Moody Radio, and that is still posted on your website. Could you just give our listening family a brief overview of what that is? Because this is a super tool to take advantage of, and it's all based in God's Word.
Sure. If you go to my website, investingintruth.com, you'll find a tab that says Financial Boot Camp, and I lay it out. It's a year-long process that I like to take at least a handful of people through personally each year. And what I tried to do was write out a logical order of how I would study Scripture and study the various topics of finance in a logical progression that we can start at the beginning. So just the things we're talking about today, that's where we start. How do we address the heart? How do we take a look at our financial situation? How do we start budgeting? How do we start attacking debt? And then we get into things like giving. We get into investing, saving, insuring, paying taxes, all work, all these things that fall into our financial lives. And so I just basically took what I had been teaching over the years and started to write it in a way that people could self-study it and be able to walk themselves through it. And by the end, I feel like you have basically everything I would have told you in person if I was going to sit down and counsel you through the next year. It's going to be backed with Scripture, and then those topics like investing and things like that, where it's not necessarily specifically addressed in Scripture, we're going to be building on the financial principles of Scripture so that we can then apply them even to those fringe areas.
All right, and again, you'll find that at investingintruth.com. Look along the top. You'll see the tab for Financial Boot Camp with Brad Graber. Hey, Brad, thanks. This has been encouraging this morning, and I know a lot of people are in this position, and even if they're not, it's still good information because you just never know down the road where you might need this kind of help.
Yeah, and it's all about the focus on God. Sometimes we get wrapped up just looking at the dollars and cents of it, but it is a spiritual issue.